Please smile. Today is the first day and you're in the right place. This is a place of blessing. Ooh. This is a place of blessing where the Lord will bless the rest of your week today. I want to start by saying thank you. Several weeks ago, I went under surgery, and I want to thank those of you who were praying. Everything went well, and thank you for your thoughts, for your prayers. We're very grateful to be part of this family. This is a great church. It's a great family, and I'm glad that you are here today. If you need to go to the bathroom, I want you to hold it for the next 60 minutes. And let me tell you why I say that. It is because God is going to talk to us today. I'm not proudful to say that, but I know when God gives me something to share with the church. So I wish the kids would be here because they need to hear this too. But parents, you will need to teach this to your kids. This is extremely, extremely important. Last week, our pastor shared with us the works of Nehemiah, how he worked hard to rebuild the temple. I believe that we are entering a new phase in this church. But we must do something. We must work. And I believe that the word that God has for us this morning, would take us to the next phase. Amen. If you believe it, you should be clapping and say, yes. I don't know about you. I've been to saw a lot of churches in the nation. When I was in the Navy, I traveled a lot. So I've seen a lot of dead churches. They're more like clubs. I don't want a church to be a club. I want a church to see the power of the living God. In our young people, in our children, in the elderly, in everybody. Amen. That's what I want. And that's what I believe we're here. And you are part of this church. Amen. Everything that has been said, everything that we have seen today, is going to relate to what we'll be talking about today. So let me start by saying, in the book of Ephesians 2:10, if you want to look at it, it's up to you, but Ephesians 2:10 says, for us, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want you to go back home. I'm going to give you homework today. Look at this verse tonight before you go to bed and just meditate in it. It says that we are a masterpiece. We are a handiwork. We are a work of art. And we have been created in Jesus Christ to do something, to do good works. That's what I love what our pastor shared with us. We should not be lazy people. We should take the kingdom of God and move forward. All of us should be doing something in the church. I don't care if you come and put a table. I don't care if you work in the audio. We need help in the back. If you are a talented musician, we need you back here. If you love to greet people, hug people, shake their hands. We need greeters. All of us are here because we need to do good works. That's part of Christianity. To do good works. And I love what it says. It says, which God prepared. Those good works have been prepared that we should walk in them. So in another version it says so we can spend our lives in it. So we should live our lives doing this good works. Now let me tell you, all of us here have different calls, have different gifts of the Spirit. I can play the drums. Believe it or not, I never took a lesson, a music lesson from drumming. I just learned by visual, and then I started doing it. I should take lessons so I can become a better drummer. What you see here, what I'm sharing here, this is a gift from God. I never expected to share, to stand in front of people and share the gospel, and share preaching. Never. I was very shy when I was a kid. I will hide behind my mother's skirt. But God, all of us have something different to do good works. Don't ever forget that. So, we are people with purpose in Christ to do good works. Now, let me tell you what the book of Psalms says. Psalms 33:11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations." From generations to generations, God has plan for his people. You have a call. Young people, you have a call. I'm not talking about you becoming a pastor, okay? You have a specific call on these times. We got to find out what it is. Oh, I'm going to give you the key today. Do you remember back in the days, a few years ago, a very term came out and they said, "What would Jesus do?" I don't know if you remember that. They will ask questions and will say, "Well, in this situation, what would Jesus do?" Would you agree with me that we should follow Jesus' example here on earth? Amen. Let me ask that question again. Would you agree that we should follow what Jesus did on earth? That we should follow those examples? If you agree with that, lift your hand. I want to see who doesn't lift his or her hand. Okay, so that's 99.999% of the church. Jesus had a purpose. He came to earth with a plan, with a purpose from the Father. His plan was this: for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That was his whole plan and purpose here on earth. Amen. With all due respect, it wasn't to make disciples. It wasn't to do miracles. That was part of the plan. But his main purpose, his main plan was to save the world. Salvation was the purpose of God. Amen. So Jesus had to do something to achieve that purpose. He had to do something. Remember, Jesus did not come as God to earth. What? Jesus came as a servant, as a man, for him to be an example for all of us. Let me read it to you. Look what it says. See if I can find it here. It says, Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says, "Who, Jesus, being a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing." Jesus, the Son of God, the Trinity, one of the Trinities, became nothing. I'm just reading the word. I'm just the messenger. He became nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So for Jesus to do his purpose, to bring salvation to earth, he had to do stuff. He had to do something to get power. You see, when you have a purpose, you need power. What are you talking about? Okay. When Dr. Schweitzer decided to become a teacher, he went to the university. He went to school. He got his PhD. He got his AA. He's got his BA. He's got all of his degree. That's power. He got knowledge to do something. Look at him now. I'm just using your example. That when you went to school and whatever you decided to study, that's power. Young people, when you go to school, you only get knowledge, but you need power. That purpose that God has placed in your heart, you may not know it, young people, right now, but I ask you, I'm going to give you the key. The Holy Spirit, not me, the Holy Spirit will give you the key how to find that out. Jesus did it. So we're going to follow his example. So let's go back. What did Jesus do? Well, this morning we want to look at a fascinating thing. What Jesus did. Matthew 3:13 says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized. So the first thing that Jesus did, was to be baptized. John wanted to refuse. He said, I shouldn't be baptized on you. And then Jesus said, listen, this has already been written. You have to do what my father stated long ago. You got to do this. So after being baptized, the book of Luke in 3:21 says that while Jesus was praying after being baptized, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Key, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. I wish I would have more time. I don't have a clock, so I'm not taking. When the other church comes up, that's when I know that I have to step out of this pulpit. Let me tell you, isn't it fascinating? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. But Jesus receive the Holy Spirit after being baptized. God is not a set of norms or rules. He can do whatever he wants. That's why I don't like those legalistic churches that have rules for everything. God can do whatever he wants. But there's certain things that we should be doing. So I don't care how old you are, you still have a call, a purpose. I don't care if you're in management. I don't care if God takes you to be a soccer player, a basketball player, a football player. I don't care if you're in business. You have a call. And when I have a call, I'm not saying that you will become a pastor, an apostle, a teacher. I don't know. I'm saying that call that God placed you here for. Maybe you will be a doctor, young people. The next doctor that's going to discover the cure of cancer. Maybe you're going to become a lawyer. I don't know. For those of us who already went to school, we still have a purpose. We still have a purpose. So Jesus, after being baptized, look what the word says. And Jesus, let me go back here. Then Jesus, after being baptized and was anointed with the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led. Now look at this. Now Jesus was being led by someone. And that someone was the Holy Spirit. You see how things work? So Jesus here was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. I'm going to fast forward. 40 days have passed. Temptation had passed. Now 40 days are over. Luke 4:14 says, And Jesus returned. Notice that he came from Galilee, returned to Galilee. In the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread all through the surrounding districts. Today, that was my intro. Today, we're going to talk about fasting. What? That's what the Spirit wants to talk about. Let me tell you. I was at my son's back to school night this past week. And his literature teacher came to talk to us. And she started talking about what's expected of the students and all of that. And there was something that this teacher said that stuck in my heart. She said, parents, reading is a lost art. Not a lot of people are reading nowadays. They know how to read. They learn how to read. But they don't read. Let me tell you something, church. This church, fasting is a lost art. We need to go back to it. To get power for our individual purposes. In your life, in your family, in this church. We need people with power. Because remember, you are a masterpiece. You are a work of art. Picasso has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Van Gogh has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. You were created with a purpose, but you need power. There have been situations in my life where I feel so far away from God. And I cry out and I say, when, God, when? You know what we need to do? Fast. We need to go back to the art of fasting. Isn't it interesting that today is Atonement Day? You know what Jewish people do on Atonement Day? They fast. It's a national fast. So fasting should be part, a lifestyle in our lives. You probably say, oh, I don't think I can fast. Yes, you can. Yes, you can fast if Jesus did it, unless you have some medical condition. Young people, practice fasting. So let's go through it. Before I get started, there's three things that we as Christians should do. It is expected. In Matthew 3, in Matthew 6, we are given the three when's. Not when, the name when. No, the when. Matthew 6 says, that's your homework. That's your other homework. Read Matthew 6. You will find the three when's in Scripture. When you give to the needy, when you pray, and when you fast. And you know what the common denominator is for those three things? All of them have a reward in private. Not in public. In private. So the three wins. When you give to the needy, when you pray, and when you fast. That is expected out of us as Christians. And if you do all those three, guess what's going to happen? Power. Power to preach. Power to do your business. Power to be a student. Power to be in whatever field you on. Power for the musicians to play better. That anointing will come and the Holy Spirit will fall in this place. And I think there will be times where there will be no preaching. We'll just be praising the whole 2 hours in this place. It'll happen. But we need that power. Now, let me just tell you something about giving to the needy. Okay? Just two tips real quick. Have you noticed there's a lot of people begging for money in Montgomery County? Okay, so this is what you do. Take a $5 bill and get five $1 bills. Put it in your glove compartment or your coffee holder. When you see one, practice. $1. $1. I'm going to give you another tip. In your envelope here, there's a little thing or choice where you can pick what you want to give your money. There's a fund here that's called the Barnabas Benevolence Fund. Let me tell you what that is. In the church, they have set this fund. It is designed to bless an individual or families in hardship situations. So, if you give that way, you let the elders of the church decide how to give that money. But you already practice the giving to the needy. Let me go on. Here we go. So, when you practice the when you give to the needy, the when you pray, the when you fast, God knows when He's going to bless you, how He's going to bless you, where He's going to bless you, what He's going to bless you with. So today, let's talk about fasting. Okay? What is the purpose for us to fast? The purpose for us to fast is... forgive me. What is fasting? Fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Remember, fasting is not for the physical. It's for the spiritual. So when do we apply fasting? Okay, so here we go. You want to know when you need to fast? Here's a few tips, a few lists. Okay. Number one, what is the purpose of fasting? To humble ourselves. Did you notice what we sang today? I surrender. I bow down. When you fast in the spirit, that's what you're doing. Humbling yourself. Okay? David said it this way. I humble myself with fasting. Humbling yourself. Go. Not what you said. You pray the Lord's Prayer. There that says, will be done. Oh, you gave 100% of what